So, warm welcome to everybody. Thanks for joining me for the sessions. As this is the first regular session, I'm not absolutely sure if I have to wait for a starting signal, so I thought I'd just go ahead because we are short on time anyway. Purpose of this presentation today is to give you some impressions and some experience that we had over the last few years with building global solutions for global customers, meaning customers that usually work in more than one country, more than one location, more than one language, stuff like that. So it will be a mix of best practice approaches that we took there, some recommendations, and also I'd like to make you think about if this is, let's say, what you need in your environment and if it might help you in running a PPM environment on a real global base where you have all these different challenges that we talk about during the next hour or so. Good, very brief agenda. What makes you global? I would like to talk about a few bullet points there. So what is, in at least my perception, essential to look into a global approach on Microsoft Project Server. Talk a little bit about the requirements analysis, what we found from our customers' feedback, what they need to really bring project and PPM to the next level so they can really use it on a global base. And I then, to the end, like to show you more on a demo, on an online environment, what we built finally, how this looks like, how it feels like if you're working in one of these environments. So, what makes you global? Probably a difficult question because you're not global as a single person, but global as a company. Just to give me some understanding on where we are, how many people do we have from the US in here? Okay, from Europe, Asia, South America, Antarctica, no one. Okay, Africa. Good, so fair mix, nice, good to have. And again, when I worked on this presentation, I really thought about the customers that we worked for, some 40 plus maybe, that really work on Project Server on a global environment. What is so special and why were they coming back to us and ask us, we like to use Project Server, but we're not completely sure if it fits our needs, if it works for us in the challenges that we have. So definitely it will be access to the solution. So what users need and what Microsoft Online is offering. And again, I'm jumping a little bit between what Project Online offers if you're working on a global base and also what you have on premise. In essence, the functional differences are close to zero. But again, if you look into users need access to one central solution, and with Microsoft Project Online, as you heard probably in the keynote and you maybe have from your own experience, we have access to a central instance of Microsoft Project Server. Nothing new about it, but the nice piece is that it can be accessed from really literally everywhere. And I do all my demos, all my customer presentations these days on Project Online, independent of where I am. I switch on my laptop, I go there, bam, it works. And even our IT department internally has a hard time to get up to this performance that we have from there. So it's not about selling Project Online to you, it's just about an experience that we really have. And if we think about multiple users, access to one central solution, it's definitely one of the selling points there. No VPN, you directly connect with your preferred browser. And this is so convenient because we are using online systems all the time for flight bookings, hotel reservations, whatever it takes. We don't think about it, we just use the browser and go there. And then IT tries to tell us, yeah, but you have to set up the secure client there and this VPN connection over there, and then 50% it works, and the other 50% I don't want to mention. So make it easy to access the solution just with your browser, and this is exactly what we have in there. No firewalls, you just use your product professional without any additional tools, even installed on your machine because you have it or because you have the Office 365 edition just to use it. And if possible, no additional logins. It's one of the many things that we see from customers, IT departments, where they say, okay, I can definitely set up an Active Directory Federation service. That's just the acronym down there. This is a business talk. I don't want to go into that. And you can still use your company login to access your online environment without any further ado, which is very nice for the users. They don't have to get used to new names and usernames and passwords. Doesn't make any sense these days. And it's really a purely technical solution to a great convenience on the user side. So access to the solution definitely makes you a global company if you have different locations. You have global teams and Microsoft Project Online, again, how could they support global teams on that? Usually, they work in different time zones. They need to have access 24/7. And again, as we heard this morning about the high availability and the big investment that Microsoft did there, it's globally distributed in data centers. It's an evergreen environment where you get continuously updates. You have redundant layers at many, many different areas of the solution, and you have a really high availability. The reason I point out this one is if I look at some of the customers that I personally know about, we really have a hard time every now and then with the customer's IT to find these 1 or 2 hours per day where we can run a backup or we can implement updates or patches or whatever it takes. So if you think about a company using a product server maybe 20 hours a day, all the other systems also have to be available, it can be really challenging just to find, let's say, maintenance slots and everything else. In a product online environment, it's not needed. You don't even have access to this backup functionality. And at this point, I only have to trust Microsoft that they can restore my data. I haven't experienced any data loss so far in the last year. So I think we just have to believe that and go for it if we need it. Again, this is all about product online compared to product on-premise. It's just a comparison where I see a big benefit for companies working on a global base and users usually work around the clock. Maybe not on the weekends all the time, but usually around the clock based on your, let's say, geographical distribution that you have. International use, for sure a big one. Acceptance and regular use of a tool really depend on a user's ability and what does Product Online offer us there. It's an easy access. It's a simple navigation, comprehensive help. And what we do have with Product Online, usually you set up a native English system. You have 24 additional languages with it. I'll show this later on when we go into the demo part, how you can use these languages, what's in there. So you don't have to install language packs. Language packs are still available for an on-premise implementation. With Product Online, you have a list of languages that you can pick from, and you can just use them. It's really easy. It's really convenient. There's a good reason to limit these languages, but that's something I'll address later on when I come to the real demo part and the real online part where we look into the environment. Product Professional, on the other hand, also is available in 29 different languages. So I think it's a pretty good setup to fulfill most requirements for a global company, for a global usage. In the end, if you think about why is a system or a product used or not used, it's about acceptance on the user side. And if they find their own language, if they find their own menus, their own navigation, their own help systems, that's a big, big deal in, let's say, getting acceptance at the user base compared to forcing everyone to work in a, let's say, single language. Independent from the context of the project, but really about using a system should be as easy as can be for myself. And even we are a small company, if you think about it. TPG is some 150 people, but we're working in 6 different countries, and even we have, let's say, I wouldn't say challenges, but try to make it as easy as possible for our, let's say, users and employees to just use the system in their native environment just for, let's say, acceptance reasons. Another one, a PPM solution like Microsoft Product Online contains lots of information. I'm usually overwhelmed with all the amounts, all the reports, everything I see in there. And one of the, let's say, reasons I pointed out here, it should be as easy as possible to access this information. So based on SharePoint technology, which is just the back end of Microsoft Product Server these days, a user can specify really personal settings. They can pick their own time zone, so they always see, let's say, the right date and the right date format. They can pick the locale they want to use, keyboard settings, and the personal start page to show the most important information at a glance, which really is another benefit that we see a lot with Product Online, because users, even with a, let's say, company portal, they access Project Server there, they see all the information there, but still they'd like to be able to tweak it to really, let's say, make it fit their own, let's say, requirements. And this personal start page really is a very nice environment where users can build their own dashboards and their own, let's say, information they'd like to see first, independent from what you set up globally and what you determine to be the global standard in looking at data and looking at information. Let's have a look at one of the more advanced or maybe more complex requirements that we see. Resources from different locations need to be maintained. Sounds quite easy. Most companies these days have big Active Directories. They have all the users in there. They have, let's say, all the names and the email addresses and stuff like that. But we do have some more information that we need on the project management side of the house. So on one hand, it should be with the least effort possible. And if we think about a globally distributed environment, you do have resource managers, you do have team leaders, and in many cases, they are asked to maintain their own resource core data, the master data. This could be skills, this could be proficiency levels, it could be any additional information, but it also used, in many cases, its rates, if it does not come from an external system. So it should be easy to maintain these. You don't want to have any additional tools in between, like a calculator, where you have to do, let's say, currency conversion or currency recalculation. Doesn't make any sense for everybody. And in many cases, we see them also from external sources. In any case, what we see, and that's, again, in a global organization, think about a big product server implementation. You have different business areas, business units, business entities, and they usually all want to, let's say, use the tool in a slightly different way. So we thought about what could be used for these, let's say, different users, different user groups to separate the core data and the configuration. And you know about what product server can do there. So we do have organizational structures. We do have an RBS where we can really separate access to resources. We also do have access rights where people might see things. And we make sure that they only see the information needed. It's more, let's say, a security thing. And if you think about the maintenance of the enterprise resource pool, it comes down to a little more detail. They have to be updated on a regular basis. Again, independent if it comes from an external system like an ERP system or from the team managers, from the resource managers. And the last point really is a very essential point for many of the customers that we have because they ask us to allow local currency for the entry of rates. And this can be a big pain if you think about a single implementation of Microsoft Project Server, PPM, independent if it's online or if it's on-premise, because usually you set one single central currency for the entire installation. And this, in many cases, really creates some trouble. If I'm a resource manager, let's say in whatever, Switzerland, and I have to maintain my resources and calculate the rates down to US dollars, it drives me nuts. That's just the truth. So I have to use a calculator. I have to think about it. I have to maintain them. And that's only if the rate changes. What happens if the exchange rate changes? So this really creates, and I've seen many cases at customers where they had project plan going on for the whole year, exchange rate in October went up and my budget's gone. Not good, because I was not able to recalculate back into local currencies and to see where I'm really in my local planning. Again, one of the challenges that we have for using Microsoft PPM on a global base. Let's look into another one. Cost planning is challenging enough. It should be straightforward and easy to enter. Cost planning on top of resource planning, and that's really the whole point here. So cost planning really means I should be able to plan different costs. For sure, I talk about capacity cost was just a bullet point below, before. Work and rates calculate the capacity cost for my work resources. But a project usually is more complex. I'd like to directly plan cost in Microsoft Project. I really like to plan for money. I need to buy whatever services, hardware, software, whatever it takes. And this is also something I want to plan in my schedule. I usually do not want to rely on something else like Excel or anything else. I'd like to have it in my schedule if possible. And again, I want to be able to plan this directly into my schedule in combination with these additional items I have in here. So they should be able to use global cost types, and this really seems to be mostly harmonized, even at the company, let's say, across all the different business units. There is always something like external services, like hardware, like study management, whatever it takes. So this is really what resources do I charge? Where do I spend money for? And this really helps in being, let's say, harmonized. But again, I'd like to plan multiple currencies depending on where the cost arises. So again, if I'm purchasing something in my project, I could maybe purchase this in the US or in the UK or in Germany or whatever it takes, and I don't want to again sit there and use my calculator, but I want to plan these costs as I spent them, but I still want to see, and that's the whole purpose of this multi-currency discussion here, what is the total project going to cost me? This is really the whole story behind it. And again, not recalculation on myself. The system should definitely help me in planning and entering this information and giving it back to me so I can always see where my product is. And if possible, but this really depends on your requirements, we have a few customers that ask us to also to add this to Microsoft product if you want. So if I'm spending money, there must be someone paying for it, for a work resource, for people, for let's say team members, it's obvious. They belong to a cost center. These are people in the organization. If I buy something, who's going to pay for it? It doesn't come out of the air. So I need to be able to also maintain which cost center with department, which whatever should actually pay for it. And that's something of the small enhancements I'd like to show later on when we look into a real solution, really into a demo, so you get a first glimpse of this. ERP integration, one of the last points. If I'm global, definitely individual business entities start and control projects that use global resources. They just do it independent from each other, so they all must be able to start projects, to assign resources to it, and projects in a global company may start from many, many different points, very different business units, having different practices, having different templates, having different processes even to use Microsoft Project. Different locations even within a business unit. So again, if we think about the global picture, I want to be able to offer a solution that fits to all my users based on for which part of the company they work for and where they are based. So this is really kind of a matrix which determines what environment would they get for planning. For legal reasons, in many, many of our customers, multiple ERP systems are used that contain core data from Microsoft Project. And core data usually means we get some resource information, we get cost center information, we might receive some rates from them, maybe project numbers, master data, and some structures. Again, I'm not going to talk about this in too much detail, but the whole point here is, again, if you think about your global setup, usually, you not only have a single central ERP system, but you are historically grown. So companies have been purchased. You added additional, let's say, entities to your environment, and all of a sudden, you ended up with 10 different ERP systems that all have a certain reason to live, but how do you access them? How can you make sure that the users does not have to pick some actual data from here and some actual data from over there? They want to have Microsoft Project as the single source of truth and not care about where the actuals come from or where these master data actually are coming from. Again, cost actuals, maybe the last point in here. Sure, planning is nice and also forecasting is nice, but at the end of the month, I'd like to see where I am, how much money has been spent, and I don't want to care if this is a, let's say, person working from the US or Canada or from, let's say, Brazil or from, let's say, South Africa. I just want to make sure that I see the total cost in my project based on how much they have been paid locally in their local currency. And this is, again, the whole story about being global, capturing all these different information and bringing them together in an easy to use and an easy, convenient way for the user to digest. So last one on this one, ERP integration, harmonization, and use of a global process is nice, but it's not real world. Not sure, maybe all of you work in a perfect world and you have one single process, everybody's following it, we have one ERP system, yippee-yay-yay, so that's good, but in real life you see different attitudes there, and even if, let's say, there are rules, there are processes, there are always smaller deviations, and there's always a good reason that this product is maintained differently. And again, I'd like to get a little back to this when we look into solution concepts and solution approaches, how we can help out there. So, the use of the same ERP system or technology does not mean they are used the same way. So, let's say you all, your company focuses on, for example, SAP. Still, different controlling practices may arise from that. It could be driven by local or even legal requirements, different processes, different business rules. And finally, what you end up is a whole mix of projects that are controlled by internal orders, by projects, by WBS elements, what do I know? And again, that's something, how could I manage this as a project manager? I'm working in my project, I have the people that I use, I have the money that I spend, but I want to make sure that I press a button and I get all the information delivered that I need to into my project. It's a challenge on its own, I know, and the project scheduling is tough enough, but you don't want to care about where does the information finally come from, but how do I control it? How can I determine which information is tracked and which ERP system as an example? Again, I'd like to give you an example on this one later on. Good, let's have a little look into, now that I'm global, I described my global. Who found a bullet point or two that makes sense for your company? A few guys over there, okay. Good, in essence, I guess it's mostly on the language and multi-currency side, on the multiple ERP side, at least that's my gut feeling. It's where we see lots of challenges in, let's say, a pure Microsoft PPM environment. So let's look a little bit into what we found and what we took back from our custom requirements and where we said, okay, this is the way a solution has to work to serve a global environment. On the PPM environment side, we do need to have global availability. Yeah, nice. If I can use a cloud-based, centrally managed, load-balanced, and integrated system, I took a big step. It's not talking you into product online. It's always your decision. And I know there are good reasons for legal, security, and what do I know not to go online. But it definitely lowers the, let's say, hurdle to start a global solution. All levels of maturity, and you know from Microsoft PPM, depending on what you use, from lightweight task management over web-based product management to expert levels in Product Pro, mobile solutions are being created by partners, by Microsoft. So I think it's really a good way to, let's say, access all different levels of maturity in the organization. And as you heard on the keynote this morning, now that we will have another product web app light for $7 a month, that's really a good deal, I think. It even encourages you a little more to think about a global solution and just make it available for the ones that really don't care about the project scheduling and the planning and the forecasting, but you need them for statusing, for time tracking, and maybe to see the risks and issues. Perfectly okay. And I think it's a good way forward to finally broaden the user base also on this one. Last one in here, flexible configuration. Sure, flexible configuration means you still have a central installation. That's what you need for all the reporting. That's what you need for all the, let's say, also governance of the data. But you are able to only show the functionality and the information needed for a specific business or a specific role. And again, I'm not sure about how much you worked on Microsoft PPM. You can define templates, workflows, data entry, and you can really separate them by business unit, area, or department. It's still one single PPM installation, but you just have your point of view and your specific approach to the whole environment based on where you are in project management. And again, it's not, again, it's the same as we had before with the ERP systems, not one size fits all. Tailor it to the needs of your users inside the organization, inside the company, and let them grow with it over time. That's really what we find a lot. Usually, we always try to overwhelm users at the first day, and that's all the functionality you have. Take it a little slower and only offer functionality over time and really grow it inside the organization. It takes not months, but years, but that's probably what you know from an enterprise environment. Let's have a look into these local configurations versus local specialties. Again, something that comes from a global approach. We do have global settings like a resource pool. We do have a global user administration. We do have timesheet settings because it's really going to drive you nuts if you have, let's say, five different timesheet settings for different parts of the organization. I don't even think it's possible, and it really doesn't make any sense if people report on different, let's say, periods there. Local settings for sure are there. There must be project templates separate. There must be project sites that are separate from the language and from the content, and that's definitely something that Microsoft PPM is supporting there if you think about a global solution. Again, if you have project server on the cloud, you have one single template from the language, you have one single environment from the maybe templates that you have in there, but you can build these additional country-specific or language or site-specific environments so people are able to use their own environment, maybe for different type of risk management, maybe for different types of issue tracking even. And this is really what I like a lot. Workflows, yeah, just come on the side, not the first step, but maybe the final step in an implementation. And even then, they can be tailored down to the business unit and down to the local entity. Master data also could be different. So what do we see if we really focus on Microsoft Project Server now in terms of enhancements that we see and that we built for a few customers? And again, I'd like to show this online in a few minutes. It's definitely multi-currency on three different really, really essential items. I can only, let's say, put as much emphasis on this as I can. Resources should be able to use the local currency just for easy maintenance and so people know what they're entering, what they're seeing. Costs can be planned and analyzed in multiple currencies. That's essential. I plan in the currency I spend. I spend my money, but I still want to be able then to switch back maybe to another view or really see it online, recalculate it, and see how much it's going to cost me in a global reporting currency that you usually have to bring to your, let's say, management and for your reporting. Exchange rates need to be maintained centrally. I don't want to sit there and, let's say, Bing or Google the exchange rate of the day. That's something I expect as a service from my PMO or from my implementation. but I still want to be sure I'm using the correct one. This can be a great source of, let's say, errors and mistakes if the exchange rate is not harmonized and used on a global base. But again, these are the three essential adaptations, I would say, enhancements that we have to Microsoft Project, Project Server. And again, I will show a solution approach and a possible way in getting there in a few minutes. On the integration side, data from one to multiple ERP systems. So there must be a way to find what is the correct ERP systems. And again, if you think about it, it's driven from the data that you have in the projects. It can depend on where the product is started and actually run. If you start a project in the US or you start a project in Russia or in Australia, it could be that the cost initially is, let's say, also captured by this ERP system where the project is started. What happens if I use people from different entities, people from different locations? Then it gets a little more tricky because now maybe the cost is arising over here and over there, but I have my project and I want to see the global picture again. So it's really about where do I put the information so I can dynamically match these data from projects, tasks, and resources to find the correct ERP system. This is really more about the puzzle. It's not so much the technical issue behind it. It's more about setting up good structures, easy to maintain structures, so you can always collect the information and you don't have to look it up somehow manually, but you get a delivery of information into your schedule. So let's look a little bit into a solution approach. What do we think might help you in using Microsoft Project Server on a global base? On the PPM environment, it's as easy as maybe regional settings and language settings, and I'll point out and really show you what's in there in Project Online so you get a first glimpse on what's happening there. It's all about my personal settings that I can determine in here, so which languages would I make available, and again, we'll see this in a minute online. And the final last step is that I can save my own regional settings, my preferred settings as a user. And this is the whole, let's say, setup of being global and of, let's say, allowing easy access to the users. So let me just briefly skip this one and go into my Project Online system. Let's really go in here. Let me briefly refresh this. So we should be back to English, I hope. Good. So a few settings that you have, and now we are in the Project Online environment. What's really specific about this one that you have the ability to determine specific languages. It's a little different than what you have in an on-premise installation where you have to install language packs. Project Online comes with these 42 languages, and the most appealing reason to limit the, let's say, languages available, think about the poor guys in your help desk. If they receive screenshots in 42 different languages, what should they do about it? So it's really about the ability to control and to limit the languages available to people that you use if you think about a global implementation. They all are there. You can all select them. You can all switch them on or off. But it's really about controlling what languages appear at all in an environment like this one, which is nice. So this is just what's possible, let's say, from a technical point of view, and let's say limits what people see. I personally, myself, I just found this picture. I just like it. It's not really me. But another nice guy, I think, right? So I personally am able to switch my language in here. So I can go in here and add as many languages as I like to, even if I'm more on the exotic side or maybe on a, let's say, trial and error base. I pick some languages. But again, I can pick whatever I like in here. The central selection of languages limits what I finally see, just for ease of service and ease of, let's say, support on your help desk side. But if I have all the languages I like in here, and it's one of the allowed languages, I just can't set my favorite language in here. I just save it, and then it takes a few minutes, and that's the not so nice part about this presentation. So it takes, whatever, 2 to 5 minutes to, let's say, take into account all these settings in here. So I, as a user, can change and determine what I'd like to see as the front end, which is really convenient for me. My administrator still has the opportunity to limit to a reasonable selection. And that's exactly this mix of, let's say, making it global, making it acceptable, and also people really use the system because they have their own environment and their own language. So this is really specific to Project Online, but it's a very nice environment, let's say, to determine these settings. So a little bit on, again, we had these ones. I don't want to walk into the other ones. I'll refresh the page in a few minutes, and then we should see that Project Web App has changed to maybe German for myself. So it's really driven by the user. They can just select it on their own. Not a big thing, but a nice thing. Let's have a look about core configuration, what is maybe really special about it. If you think about enterprise project types, and these project types really determine how people are starting projects, what information they see. You know, all this is really, let's say, out-of-the-box functionality. You have enterprise custom fields and lookup tables, and I'm not sure if you ever used the product department functionality in Project Server. It really helps you to cut down the amount of data the user sees. If you think about a global implementation, there can be dozens and hundreds of enterprise custom fields that you need to capture all the information, but you just slice it and you really just limit the information for a specific department, for a business area, whatever it takes, and only they would see these informations captured in these enterprise fields. So really nice opportunity, nice possibility to limit the amount, but still work on a global base and have all the information you need and that you need to capture. Finally, the templates that you make available, the product templates, we talked about this, and you know all this from Project Server, I guess. So different templates that make their way into the enterprise project types. Again, if I'm working for a specific environment, for a specific department, I could only see my two enterprise project types that we use in our group, but I won't see the other 20 ones that are there on the system on a global base, limited again by this department approach. Out of the box, nothing special, but very, very helpful in, let's say, building a global solution and still offering local perception and local specialties to your users. On the PPM side, let's get a little more complicated maybe. In this very simple screenshot, I've shown just a snapshot from a project center view, and I added three columns there to display my cost, maybe in euro, in British pound, and in US dollars. Doesn't look really complicated. These are just enterprise custom fields, but the question is how are they being calculated? How are they being maintained? And what do I need to do to get to this picture where I have multiple currencies side by side in an environment like this one? And one of the smaller enhancements that we did in there, and I not one walk through the screenshot, we see it live in a few minutes, is a way to maintain and to plan resources and cost in Microsoft Project with different currencies, with different entities, with different information. Again, let me show this in a real environment. I think this makes a lot more sense than having it in PowerPoint and really explain what's going on there. So, very simple schedule. It's not about the schedule in here. It's really more about the resources. And what I did in here, I set up a team of resources working in my schedule. Just a few guys working there, and I also added a few cost resources like other capital, software, hardware, or whatever it takes. So what's special about these guys in here? Every single resource in here has an information about their local currency. Where do they come from? So the rate is really maintained, local currency. This is a guy from Switzerland, and every rate for him is maintained in Swiss francs. So his team manager, his resource manager from Switzerland can really set them up and can control the rates for these people. I did this for sure not only for this person, but for many more. So what I finally did, let me just open this one real quick so it's easier to see. Oops, should be in there. So, just another enterprise custom field, nothing special about it. I picked six different currencies just for this showcase in here. And again, it's about maintaining core data in a resource pool. A resource carries information about their local currency. And there is no limit about this one. It's just about the amount of currencies that you need. It's just from an enterprise pick field. And of course, there is another place where we store the exchange rates for all these currencies. But finally, this is driving the information that I see in my Microsoft project schedule when I now assign people to my projects, and then these local currencies come into the game. So let's just close this one for now. Oops. No, I only want to check out the resource pool. Good. What's happening in here? If I assign a resource, and what's happening now is I have added a few of these recalculated fields in here. Let's assign Christoph. Christoph is the guy working on this one. And if I assign him here, he's absolutely calculating the amount of cost that I have in all these currencies on the fly. And that's really the whole story about it. It sounds like an easy part, and what we have in the background is the resource configuration with the currencies. We have a place to store the exchange rates, and we have a few macros in the background that recalculate all this on the fly. And the whole purpose of this, you don't have to wait for your product to publish and to go out and being recalculated. I get this information as a project manager. I get into this immediately. And as you can see from this guy, he's working 10 days in here. 10 days times 8 hours is some 80 hours. And I guess this guy has a cost rate of 100. So it makes a lot of sense that he's costing 8,000 Swiss francs, which turns out to be different in euros, British pound, USD, or whatever it takes. Very natural, very, let's say, on-the-fly recalculation of resource cost. And this is really the whole story here. I'd like to show resources can carry this information, and of course it rolls up to the product, it rolls up to the entire picture. As soon as I publish this information, I get the same information visible in project web app, in the product center, in all my reports, because it's enterprise custom fields. It doesn't have outside Microsoft product, it happens inside the schedule. It's just carried in the schedule as a task field and as a product field. So this is really what's happening in the background there. So we thought a lot about adding people and removing people and whatever it takes. Let's plan someone else. I know this is a guy that's planned in euros. So now another column is populated with the originating cost. And again, the recalculation is happening into every other field. Simple, straightforward, nothing to really think about. What we thought a lot is, how do we plan cost? Resources seems easy. Resources have a location, they come from somewhere, they carry the information, they have a rate, they have a currency, so we just go into it and recalculate the information, and here we go. For direct project cost, for really spending money in a Microsoft project schedule, what can you do? You can set up these resources, and I have a few of them down there. I do have some hardware in here, I do have other capital, I have software, but it doesn't make any sense to assign a currency to these. So the whole story now is, how can we make it possible for a user, for a product manager, on one hand to plan these cost resources, but determine the currency it should be? And before we thought about tweaking this resource, the dialogue down there, we made another decision to bring our own resource dialogue into life. And that's exactly what we did in here. So what we said, if I can plan resources, I'm picking a different functionality. Okay, let's wait for it. Shouldn't take that long. And the whole idea here is that we have two different areas in planning cost. On the top you see it's for cost resources, and just from the columns you see you can guess that you can enter different information there compared to the resources that we have on the lower part of the screen. And let me just show you how it finally works. I can pick a few people from here. I can say these guys are working for me. Again, remember, they have different currencies, they have their own rates, so I just assign them in here, and I say, okay, he's working 100%, this guy is working 50, and this one is maybe working 30%. That's still the easy part. We could do this with Microsoft product out of the box, just assign them, use the currency, and recalculate. The different story really is the top area in here. So the top area in here really means, how would I plan new cost? And new cost would really mean Microsoft project knows about the type of the resource. It only displays cost resources on the top screen there. So if I'm planning hardware, someone has to pay for it. So we said, okay, some cost center needs to be picked to pay for it. What money am I going to spend? Oh, I need some US dollars. I pick a nice server. I pay some 10,000 US dollars for it. And that's everything I need for now. Maybe I also need software. I have another cost center charged against it. This time I'm buying this in euro because the exchange rate is just nice, and I'm really buying something for 5,000 euros now. So it's really a mix of very, very different information in a single schedule. At the bottom, people absolutely easy. Where do they come from? What's the cost center? What's the resource? And what's their resource currency? On top, it really depends on what am I planning right now. And this can change from task to task. And that's really what we see a lot with project managers working in international projects. They have the ability to plan these costs directly in the different currencies they have. Let's just save it real quick. Nothing that's really too exciting here. Close it. And now we end up with a total mix of different currencies from people, different currencies for direct project cost, but the recalculation schema is exactly the same. So it's not the secret behind what's happening. It's very straightforward recalculation. It's just the ability for a project manager to plan in these different environments and in these different, let's say, mix of information. Let's just take this and publish the project. And then we're almost done with this one. Okay, that should be it. Not yet there. Let's have a brief look into project web app. So that's where I have all my projects. Let's switch to a cost view. And based on what I just created, I have for sure exactly the same information in here. Again, what we did in here, you noticed in the schedule, I have this mix of different currencies. In the schedule, I have this mix of resources and everything else. Of course, nothing special. We roll it up to a project level, so we just fill these project level data for euros, British pound, and US dollars as well, and make sure it can be used in here for reporting. And again, it's just a standard enterprise project field that can be used in all the OLAP reports, it can be used in all the other reports. That's really the whole story about it. So one of the challenges, one of the tasks that we had a lot in the past and we keep continuing having is how can we make it easy for a user to work in this environment, to really have the information at hand that they need, and on the other hand, get back in the, let's say, entry mode where I can simply select the currency and really plan against it. That's the whole story behind this one. Not too complicated, but I think a must if you work in one of these environments. Okay, few words in the last few minutes of this talk on the ERP integration side. I'm not going to do a deep dive into this. It's more about what is all this information talk about and integration talk about. Left hand, I have my line of business systems, SharePoint, Dynamics, Team Foundation Server, Oracle, Primavera, whatever it might be, SAP. On the right hand side, I have Microsoft Project, and they usually want to exchange data between these two. And while this is pretty straightforward in a single environment for a smaller or, let's say, medium-sized company, I have one project server, I have one SAP system, bang, I just decide which fields to map, and I just, let's say, use the system and keep going. I need to think a little more about it if I'm working in, let's say, an international environment or in a really big organization where I have, let's say, up to whatever number of ERP systems, and they all are a little different. They all are special, they all are local, because in the end, people always want to be special, even if it would make more sense to be harmonized, but that's another story I don't want to talk about now. So, what options do we have to integrate? What is needed? Integration favorites that we see if we look through our customer base, 95% need actual cost integration. I'm planning as a project manager, I do my very best to run my schedule. I want to go ahead and really, let's say, be sure that the schedule fits, but I need to see where I am based on actual cost. Very easy, but actual cost is not something I can really touch. I'm really dependent on an external system. I want to see it in my schedule or in a report or whatever it takes, but I need this information back. 90% need timesheet integration, which is obvious. Think about where the money comes from that is being spent in the actual cost. It's the people working in your projects. They track timesheets, hopefully in Microsoft Project Server, where it's much easier and much more convenient than any other tool that are out there. Bring the cost back into SAP or Oracle or whatever it takes, or Accepta, calculate it and bring back the actual cost. And 3 or 4 clients integrate forecasts and budgets. And again, it's a very direct connection, top-down budgeting, bottom-up costing. I'm not going to touch them into the detail, but if you think about how could a forecast being calculated from project, how could actuals be calculated in an international environment, I have 2 examples that I'd like to walk you through and briefly explain what's going on there. So, for a smart matching of data, we could start with a very simple and stupid Microsoft project schedule. It's all about this international task up there. I do have three different resources, and as we did before, the resource is carrying information about the location. The location equals the currency, if you want so. So we know where these people are from. They enter actual information, maybe in the timesheet in Microsoft project that we see in the schedule. Now we think about a global SAP system, and usually these are broken down into controlling areas, different company codes. Again, I don't want to torture you with Japanese. It's only about some of the buzzwords that have to be in a presentation like this one. But what we finally see that from the controlling point of view, a controller usually likes to separate the cost. They need to see the cost arising in Germany, in France, and in the UK for this international project in here. And the really, really, let's say, simple approach here is, why don't we just take the information and the actual information from this guy and from Bob and from Michelle and directly read it from them? It's all about matching of data. So you don't have to think about as a project manager where the actual cost is going. Your controllers don't have to think about your schedule and what's planned in there, but the resource is carrying the information already. They carry a cost center or location or whatever it takes, and we just take this information and map it to the correct entity, if you want so, to the WBS element, these yellow triangles on the right-hand side. Again, driven by the project and the resources and other tasks. That's really mostly behind it. I don't want to explain all this. It's a more complex multinational environment. Very briefly, it could be different SAP systems on the top. Maybe one is planned in projects and WBS element, the other one on the UK, they believe in orders and want to maintain the project differently. Again, I don't want to jump into these details, but again, it's exactly the same story. So based on the resource and the task and the project, we can find the matching ERP system where we upload the actuals from the timesheets, or we get the actual cost from these SAP systems back into Microsoft Project Schedule. A big challenge if you think about the global environment, technically not that difficult in most cases, but the logic behind can be quite challenging, so we have to make sure that we match and bring all this information back into Microsoft Project so we can really link these different worlds to each other. So, in a nutshell, do I need a global solution? I don't know. It's your call now. But I made a few points where you should think about global solutions based on currencies, languages, locations, everything else. More than one country, language, currency. I think, yes, you need one. It would definitely help bringing project management, portfolio management to a next level. You know there are different attitudes or different approaches to it. Build one single implementation, having different countries, but then you have the reporting issues. There's always one way to die, and one of the recommendations that we definitely see these days, start thinking about the global solution and start thinking about project online just to be faster and just to be, let's say, easier to access all this. Can I build this on Microsoft PPM? Well, I wear a green shirt, so I say yes, but the whole purpose again behind this one, I think it's a platform that's flexible, globally available, so I would say yes, you can. Based on Microsoft PPM, we have a flexibility, we have the possibility to do these small enhancements, and just as you have seen, this multi-currency add-on in Microsoft Project is really something that we use in many, many projects that we have, and we just have it, let's say, as something we kind of, I wouldn't say give away, but we build it in a few days into based on what you need in terms of cost planning and resource planning. What should I do now, except having lunch? Gather your requirements and start using PPM. Yes, you should. I think that's really what's worth it. Again, some of the bullet points I talked about, like multi-currency, different locations, language and stuff like that, is also something we can show at the booth. On the ERP integration, I briefly touched on these two slides. There's another talk at 2 p.m. today where we talk about these multi-language, multi-currency, and global implementations of ERP integration. For this morning, thank you for coming, and I would say stage is open for questions or discussions.
countries done. Is that something in Project Offline that's fed, or do we have some table that somebody needs to maintain on a regular basis to make those relationships?
Good point. So question was where the exchange rates are being maintained, and actually we have two options. If we are in, let's say, on-premise environment, we usually have an additional table on the SQL server for the product database, which is, for example, being fed by SAP exchange rates, maybe on a daily or weekly basis, whatever it takes. If it's a product online scenario, we store it in a simple SharePoint list. Yeah, SharePoint is something we cannot access the database for good reasons in product online, so we just use a SharePoint list where we maintain the exchange rates, but the story behind is exactly the same. There's usually a guiding system that has these exchange rates, one of your ERP systems. They have to be maintained, absolutely, on a mostly yearly basis, maybe more often, but it comes from somewhere. It's accessible for Microsoft project for the client. That's the whole story. So when my Microsoft project client started, it downloaded all the exchange rates for the session I'm working on. It doesn't change on the fly every minute. You know, see, it's more, it's a governance process behind that. Very good point. The usual, the standard cost column in Microsoft Project kind of is useless because it's a mix of all the currencies I have there. Even on a single task, as we have seen it today, we had, let's say, three different currencies on the people. We had two different currencies on the direct project cost. So the cost column itself is nothing I can use. But I do have these enterprise columns where I have the language the currency clean numbers, if you want so. And that's where you build your reporting on. Good point. Which is anyway. Sorry. Now, if you think about time phase data and all the stuff, I have to agree. Yeah, so it's a different story there. You can be calculated on cost in the standard model of Microsoft Project Server, but earned value calculation that you do outside, of course, still is possible. But I agree, the standard on value doesn't work anymore. You're not using the standard cost field? No. It's not, but what we save for sure, if we save a baseline, is the original cost value and the currency for the resources. So we always save the original cost, not the recalculated cost, if you want so. So on the baselining side, we still have the opportunity to see what the number is at this point in time for the baseline, and we know about the currency being used. But there is no separate baselining, if you want, so for multiple currencies until you set up additional fields, but they would always be just total fields, so baselining function would not be time-phased. But back to the point, baselining works still the same. We have the numbers in the baseline, but we have factor in the currencies for the resources and for the direct project cost as part of this baseline saving, which is still available as part of the assignment, so this doesn't change. Yeah. Okay, then... thanks again for coming. Again, project on time and budget. Enjoy your lunch and happy to ask any questions at the booth if you want so. Thank you.